Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Take your Bibles. Thank you, choir. Take your Bibles. Go to the book of Joshua, chapter number 7. Hallelujah. Joshua, chapter number 7. Oh, the Lord is here, church. The presence of the Lord is here. I was talking to a youth pastor this week, and he was just explaining some challenges that they were having in their church at this point, just different things. And I told him something that Brother Hurst had taught us a long time ago, that the best thing we can do to help young people, help anybody, is just get them into the presence of the Lord. And that's what we're here to do today. And he's here to help us this morning. So Joshua chapter number 7, with the Lord's help, I'm going to preach about Achan this morning. And we're still talking about more. Everybody say more. But we're going to talk about Achan. He got more than what he bargained for. And he tried to take matters into his own hands and get more the wrong way. And this is a sermon of warning. Before you think this sermon isn't for you, it probably is. And if you think it's for you, it probably is. As I'm praying and studying, it's for me. How many of you know the enemy wants to distract? And so, I always despise when I don't like it, Brother Josh, when a preacher gets up and says, "Now I'm not preaching to this group," because the Holy Ghost preaches to everybody. And so hopefully somebody listens to this online, amen, and takes that to heart. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 7, verse 19, says, "And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, that I coveted them, and I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver was under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his donkeys, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day." You can be seated. Sad scripture there. It's a sad story about a family that was made for more than where they ended up. They were made for more. They were made for more than to be an example of negativity. They were made for more. And I'm going to hit on that here in just a minute. Before I get into the message, it's good to see the Zerbels here today, Brother Dudley, Sister Sherry. Glad that you're here. Looking across the congregation, there's several visitors. We have some from Broadway Assembly, Sister Zoe and Sister Alex, Sister Deja, and Brother Julius. They're here today. Brother Julius went with us to Decision Days, and they spent the night in the church last night in the evangelist department and stayed here for service with us this morning. Glad that they're here. Sister Adeline has some co-workers here from the Ukraine that are here, and we're glad that you guys are here as well. Praise the Lord. Thankful for all of our visitors here and the home folk. We picked up the text right in the middle or the end of a story, I should say. So let me kind of set some things up for us today. If you aren't aware of the story, you go back to Joshua chapter number 6 and you discover that Joshua has led the people to walk around the city of Jericho. Anybody remember that story? The city of Jericho, they marched around it one time each day for 6 days, and on the seventh day they marched around it 7 times, and they're not allowed to speak a word. They're not allowed to make any noise as they march. They just march and march and march and march around that city of Jericho, and they get to the final time of marching around, Brother Putterball, and they finally come to the place where they're allowed to lift up a shout, praise the Lord. Can you imagine holding in your praise for that long? And they were anticipating what God was about to do and trying not to get ahead of what the Lord had promised them. And so here they come to that final time, and they let out a shout, praise God, amen. And the walls just fall down flat. They fall down. And Joshua says, go and take the city. Save Rahab and her family. Bring them out from the city. Praise the Lord. We're going to preach about Rahab maybe next week or the week after that. But here we go. They go into the city of Jericho. They conquer the city. They're not supposed to take anything out of the city. They're supposed to destroy all of the inhabitants, all of their livestock, all of their possessions. They're supposed to destroy everything only to keep the silver, gold, and the vessels of brass and iron so they can give those to the treasury of the house of the Lord. Notice that. God said, you're going to go in, destroy everything there, get rid of all the bad things that are before you that the enemy can distract you with. Only keep the silver, the gold, the brass, and the iron so we can use it in the house of the Lord at a later date. We're going to use all of that for my glory. That's what God was saying. So they go in, they destroy the city of Jericho. They do what God says. They conquer Jericho. Praise the Lord. That's the first conquest. They're entering into the promised land. Praise God. And great battles are about to be fought, and great victories are about to be won. The next city after Jericho is a tiny little spot on the map, Ai, that little city. That's the way you say it, the way it's spelled, Ai, praise the Lord. So they go to Ai, and Joshua sends some spies and says, hey, tell us what we need to do here in Ai. How should we go about fighting this people and this city? And they say, well, it's not a very big city. All the things we just did, God is on our side. He's for us. So let's take maybe 2,000 people, 3,000 warriors or so, and let's run over that city and continue on in the conquest. So that's what Joshua does. That's a good plan. So they go forward, they get ready to conquer the city of Ai, and this is what happens. That tiny little spot on the map becomes a big problem for the people of Israel. What happens? Those men of Ai, they come to fight. They go ahead and they fight back, and they kill 36 warriors from the people of Israel, and Israel runs away scared. They weren't expecting such a fight. They weren't expecting anybody to die or get hurt or anything like that. God is supposed to be on their side. So they go back to the camp. They're discouraged. They're defeated. And Joshua hears from God. And God says, Joshua, the problem isn't that I'm with you. The problem is somebody has brought sin into the camp. The problem is somebody disobeyed my command. So Joshua begins to follow the leading of the Spirit of the Lord, and they call for the tribe of Judah, and then Judas, they begin to inquire of the situation, and finally Achan's family is called forward, and they discover that Achan is the problem, and Joshua says to Achan, bring glory to God and confess the problem. Confess your sin. What have you done? Reveal the situation. What is it that you have done? And Achan begins to talk to him and tell him, it is me. I'm the one. I did it. I took a wedge of gold. I saw it and it looked good. I took 200 shekels of silver. I saw it and I wanted it. I saw a Babylonian garment. That means really probably it was a part of the king's royal apparel. He took that and he said, I've taken it, I wanted it, and I put it under my tent. And that was the source of the problem, the source of the situation at hand. And so I want to talk to you for a few minutes about Achan, how he got more than what he bargained for. And how many of you know God has a destiny for you that's out of this world? God created you so you can go to him one day. God made you for heaven. Praise the Lord. I had a friend in high school here, and he said he was backslid, walked away from the Lord, and he said, you know, I think I'm just going to become Jewish so when the rapture takes place, I can still, you know, be a Jew and go after the rapture. I think he had confused some things in his theology. He was made for more than that. You're made for more, amen, than to live in sin and live in shame. You're made for more. See, that young man, he knew what his eternal destiny should be, but he didn't want to live a life that destiny God has for us requires. And our decisions today can determine our eternal destination. Your decisions right now can determine where you end up in eternity. I'm not talking about whether or not you decided to brush your teeth this morning. I hope you did. But even if you didn't, that has no eternal bearing on your soul. That's not the type of decision I'm talking about. You listen to me. I'm talking about decisions that influence where you wind up in eternity, let alone who you take with you wherever you end up in eternity. Decisions like who you marry, what career path you take, the degree that you get in college, what job you take, what you do with your life as far as purpose and plan and vision, how you pursue God's will for your life. You've got to let God guide your steps. We've got to let God guide us and let his light be his word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, because our destiny is at stake. But between here and there, we got a lot of decisions we got to make. All right, let's talk about point number one, Achan's destiny. Point number one and point number five are the same thing, okay? Achan, and I already mentioned this, he was not created to be an example to us. Achan was not made so I could preach about him and his failures this morning. That's not why Achan was born. God has an ability to redeem the problem for a greater purpose. And God, you know, he does that. We read in stories of scripture and discover things that we should do and things we shouldn't do. And God redeems failures for a great purpose. But I don't believe, Brother Steve, that God was sitting on his throne and thinking within himself, you know, I'm going to let this guy named Achan be born. I'm going to let him get married. I'm going to let him have a family, and then I'm going to kill him because of his sin. That was not God's plan for Achan's life. It wasn't. We can go a step further into the New Testament. Remember a story very similar to this one. Ananias and Sapphira. What happened to them? They lie to the Holy Ghost and they die on the doorsteps of the house of God. Why? It wasn't God's purpose for them. Achan had a destiny that was better than what it ended up being. Achan's sons and daughters were not born so they could be stoned in the valley of Achor. They were created to have an inheritance in the promised land. Lord, help us. If you go, how many of you have ever read My Utmost for His Highest, that old devotional book? It's a great book. Page 26 in that devotional book talks about how the fowls of the air, they fly because they're obeying the principle of life that is within their creation. God created them to fly, so they fly and God looks after them. The lilies of the field, they grow because they're planted and the principle of life is within them, and yet still God looks after them. Achan's destiny was not to die lost. His destiny, he was created like you and I. We were created to worship. We were created to bring God glory. We were created to have life and life more abundantly. Come on, somebody. We were created to follow the Great Commission. We were created to spread the gospel to all the world. We were created to go to heaven and take people with us. God gave us, though, as mankind, something different than the rest of creation. We have a free will. The birds fly because they are made to. Fish swim because they're made to. You and I were created to worship and spend eternity with God in glory, but our decisions can mess that up. Not everybody worships. Not everybody goes to heaven because we have a free will, and we make our decisions based on whether or not we want to follow faith and follow God or follow our flesh. Achan was on his way to the promised land. He had his family in tow, his sons, his daughters, his wife. They were all on their way to the promised land, and Achan messed it up. They'd already endured the wilderness. They had experienced the results of trying to do things their own way. They had to march around for 40, 45 years because some other men had messed it up. He knew what it was like to go against the will of God and go against the man of God. He had tasted manna. He had seen that his clothes never wore out. His shoes grew on his feet. Hallelujah. He saw the parting of the Jordan River. He marched around the walls of Jericho. His family did too. They saw the walls come down. They saw Rahab and her family be saved from destruction. And their destiny was within reach. The land that flowed with milk and honey. Woo, they were almost there. But he got distracted. Point number two. Achan's distraction. You know, Satan wants to distract all of us from the destiny God has for us. Flesh and blood were not able to touch Achan. He came through Jericho unscathed. If he was one of the warriors at Ai, he came through it unscathed. He was fine. Flesh and blood could not destroy Achan and his family. He was kept safe just like everybody else in the family of God during that season. But church, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, the powers and the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Achan had just witnessed the greatest victory of his life. He had just marched through a place where before it seemed like a dream. Oh, if we could just get through Jericho. And yet here he was on the other side of victory. But then distractions came. He said, I saw a good Babylonian garment. I wish I had one. But I've never been to Babylon to purchase one. I don't know if you can on Amazon. Somebody look it up real quick and order us one. Maybe it'll be here by tonight. Hallelujah. But he saw that Babylonian garment, that king's robe, and he thought, man, it'd be nice to look like a king. He saw 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold, somewhere probably around $50,000 worth of income in those two things right there. Church, Satan knows what to bring into your vision to distract you from the plans that God has for you. You got to keep your destiny in mind. Somebody help me preach. You got to keep your destiny in mind. There are so many things that you can pick up along this way. Weights and sins with just so easily beset us. So we've got to keep our destination in mind. We are strangers and pilgrims in this land. We don't belong in this world. God has given us a new name. Hallelujah. He has given us new blood. Praise the Lord. And one of these days he's going to give us a new body. Hallelujah. And we're going to see him all face to face. You got to keep that destination in mind. Amen. You've got to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. Yet Achan got distracted by the things of this world. Selfish ambition. I imagine Achan had a thought in the back of his mind. If I carry this Babylonian garment long enough, I can wear it one day. I can walk out among the people and my inheritance, and maybe they'll set me up as a king. I'll have enough money where I can have the nicest home in all of Canaan. I'll have enough stuff piled up, maybe where I can trade and get even better things. His desire to keep up appearances, to be the best among his peers. He coveted all of those things. The enemy knew what to distract him with. Church, listen, the problem with his decisions, it went against God's word. God said that gold and that silver is meant to be used for my purpose. So when Achan decided, point number three, Achan's decision, when Achan decided to partake of his flesh, he robbed God of glory. You cannot rob God of his glory. What did he say? I'm not going to share my glory with anybody else. I'll let you see my glory. I'll let you experience my glory. And when you get to heaven, hallelujah, we'll partake in his glory. But you can't have, hallelujah, what doesn't belong to you. Achan tried to take God's glory. This is an important thing to note. Just a side note. Lord, help me. Achan, if he would have just waited, if he would have just waited till Ai was conquered, they were allowed to keep the spoils of Ai. Think about that. He could have had all the gold and silver he could have put in his arms around after Ai was won. He could have had it. But in this moment, he decided to try to get more the wrong way. And he made that decision. You can't keep distractions from coming into your life. You can't. You can try to minimize them as much as you can. Shut the world down as much as you can. But you cannot keep distractions from coming your way. The enemy will tempt you and try you all the way till you make it to heaven. But here, Achan, the distraction came and he lost the battle within his mind. That distraction became a desire. He started coveting that stuff. That word covet means to lust, appetites, out of control. Listen, it's okay to want things. It's okay to want success. It's okay to want people to appreciate. It's okay to want to have money in the bank. It's okay to want to look nice. That's okay. But when those lusts or when those appetites get out of control, they become sin and they start to control you. His coveting turned into a cover-up. He went, he gathered the stuff, and he hid it under his tent. Church, God sees down the road a lot further than we can. So when he said, don't take that stuff, it wasn't because he didn't want Achan to be blessed. It's because he had a better blessing. Oh, Lord. Y'all ain't hearing this morning. Lord help us. You got to wait and let God lead your heart and follow his direction. Listen, I don't know where I'd be today. Hallelujah. I don't know where I'd be today. Oh, but I'm so thankful that God saved my soul. Amen. I'm thankful that God led my steps. Hallelujah. And you are too. You're thankful that God saved your soul, aren't you? You're thankful that God has led your steps. But tomorrow you walk out the house, the enemy brings distraction your way. You got to make decisions based on your faith, not on your flesh. Lord, help us. I don't know. I wasn't going to preach this morning. I had other things to preach. But I had a dream this week that really troubled me about some people here in the church. And I knew God wanted me to warn you that you need to make a decision today to follow Jesus and not follow your flesh. You got to make a decision. Achan's decision became his destruction. Point number four. Take notice of all the destruction that Achan caused because he wanted $50,000 in his bank account and a nice set of clothes to wear on Sunday morning. He wanted to look good, but that destruction came because of his decision. 36 people, 36 warriors died on a battlefield that should have been an easy victory if they had all been following the will of God. It should not not have happened. Yet they came home from the battlefield and 36 widows, 36 families, 36 families of sons and daughters, grandchildren possibly, widows. Their husbands didn't come off the battlefield because Achan was not willing to follow God's plan. Confidence and faith of the people melted because of Achan's decision. That defeat that came because of Achan's decision was destructive. His own children, listen, his sons and his daughters lost their lives because of his decision. He lost his life because of his decision. Can I remind you, Achan had a better destiny. Achan had a destiny that was better than what he ended up with. His sons and his daughters had a better destiny in store for their life. They weren't made to be stoned and burned in the valley of Achor, but his decision determined a different situation and destination. Heed the warning of the Spirit today. Don't give in to the distractions, lest your destiny become what Achan's was. Final point, if our music could come. Imagine with me that I've got three doors up here. Behind each door is a destination for you to enjoy. Behind one door is a trip to Paris, France. Would anybody want to go to Paris, France? Anybody want to see the Eiffel Tower, the City of Lights, all of that? That'd be beautiful to see, wouldn't it? Behind door number one is a trip to Paris. Behind door number two is a trip to Hawaii. Anybody want to go to Hawaii right now? It's warmer in Hawaii. It's beautiful there, I hear. I hope I get to go one day. Door number one, a trip to Paris. Door number two, a trip to Hawaii. Door number three, there's a trip in door number three, but it's a trip to the bathroom. Amen. Imagine you get all those three options. You get all three options. You don't know which one is behind the door, but I pull you up here and I say, you pick whatever door you want. One of these doors leads to Paris. One of them leads to Hawaii. Amen. Who's in Sister Maggard's class? Anybody in here in Sister Maggard's class? This is awesome. This ties in with your lesson this morning. They were trying to find the way to a certain spot, and she said, there's just one way. Praise God. Woo! Three doors. There's the three destinations. Which one are you going to pick? Imagine the sweat as you decide, I don't want to go to the bathroom. I want to go to Hawaii. I want to go to Paris. But you don't know what lies behind each door. That the chances of you having a bad decision or making a bad decision were 1 in 3. You'd second guess yourself until you knew what the outcome would be. But I want you to know there's two doors that stand before you today. One is God's destiny. And one is Satan's destiny. And what lies behind the door isn't a mystery. You know what's behind door number one. Heaven. Amen. Life. Eternity. With God. What's behind door number two? Destruction. Dismay. Dysfunction. Those doors are plainly labeled. There's no question. For Achan, those doors were plainly labeled. He knew what lay behind the door of his decision. He knew what he was choosing when he followed his heart instead of God's command. He had the promised land that his ancestors had waited for centuries. He was close enough to smell it. And for a minute, he may have enjoyed it between Jericho and Ai. But still, he had to endure the consequence of his decision. I can't imagine what's going through Achan's mind right now as he's in hell for all eternity. Can you imagine? I cost my kids, my family, everything that they could have had. You're too important. You are too important to somebody in their eternal destination for you to mess up. I mean, it's too, Brother Micah, imagine if you turned around right now and said to Lincoln and Declan and Sydney, we're going to quit following God. We're going to do our own thing. Imagine you made that decision. I know you, our kids are going to make their own decision. They're going to make their own decision. They got to. But if I turn around and walked away from God, chances are my kids are going to follow me down a wrong path. You're too important to where somebody ends up in eternity for you to let the enemy distract you and destroy you because you make a bad decision. So this morning, heed the warning. Don't get distracted. Turn your eyes back to Jesus. If you've gotten distracted, run back to Jesus. His arms are open. Woo! I don't know what would have happened, Brother Dudley. I don't know if Achan, if he would have came to Joshua the moment after he saw what was going wrong, or maybe even right after they crossed back or when they were about to go to Ai. Imagine if he could have just ran to Joshua and said, Joshua, I messed up. I took this. I took all this stuff. I shouldn't have taken it. Would he have been able to save his family? Heaven only knows. But the fact remains, he made a bad decision. He cost them his life. But you don't have to make a decision. Amen. Hallelujah, that's going to destroy you. And if you have made a bad decision, you can repent and find grace and mercy. Let's stand all across this sanctuary. You were made for more. Hallelujah. You were made for more. You were made for more. You were made for more. Jesus, I love you. So I want to ask you this morning, what's the enemy tried to distract you with as far as the things of this world? What are some things that Satan has tried to get you to swerve out of the right way to follow after? Whatever it is, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. And you can make it. You can make it if you just keep on walking. Hallelujah. You can make it. I know it's hard, but you can make it. You don't have to swerve out of the way. You can make it. Come on now. There's a whole host of heaven cheering you on today, saying, yes, listen, you can make it. You can get your children to make it. You can take your spouse. You can lead them to Jesus. You can make it. Don't give in to the discouragement. Don't give in to the distraction. Young people, listen. You have so many years ahead of you, should the Lord tarry. And right now, what the enemy's distracting you with, say no and just follow Jesus. He's got something better for you than you can ever imagine. I was going to make a general altar call this morning. I don't know what you're facing, what you're distracted by. The people I dreamed about aren't even here this morning. Don't start pointing fingers. You don't know who it was. Praise the Lord. Only I do. But you got to listen to the voice of the Lord. I had another dream. I wasn't going to tell you this one. I had another dream. We were walking next to this thing, this little tote that had some type of a large lizard in it. And I made it past it just fine. Ethan made it past it just fine. Hannah made it past it just fine. But I left it sit there thinking it was just going to be fine. But when Leah walked by it, that thing jumped out and consumed her. Listen to me, church. You're thinking I'm crazy. I know. you're not careful. The things you give into, the distractions you think won't be a problem are going to cost you big time. And we can't let that happen. So turn around from where you're at and follow Jesus. Turn around. You fathers, turn around and conquer that thing before it takes your kids. Moms, turn around and get rid of that thing before it destroys your marriage. God help us. Everybody that will, come find yourself a place to pray. God's dealing with you about a sin in your life. Give it to God. Let Him take it and clean you. Amen. Grace and mercy is available this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking to your heart. Somebody watching online, the Lord's speaking to you. You need to get down on your knees right now where you're at and just let God, let His Spirit take control and move in your heart and conquer that distraction. Thank you, Jesus.
The precious blood of